Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show on a Wednesday. News Radio 1070 WKOK. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve will soon be there, as always, from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai. Lots of pre-owned inventory. An excellent service department and sales staff. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Home of the repeat customer. And they're not just a sales team. They want to make the sale, but they want to also make sure it fits your budget and fits exactly what you need. That's why they're the home of the repeat customer. And that's why we love our friends at SMC. Loaded show today. 3:35. Scott Lauber from the Philadelphia Inquirer going to join us as the Phillies bring in one of the big fishes of free agency in baseball and bringing in Kyle Schwarber today. Now you got him, Harper, and Rhys Hoskins in the lineup for the Phillies, so we'll talk about that with Scott Lauber today from the Philly Inquirer at 3:35. Jeff Byers today at 4:06. Penn State wrestling at the NCAA Championships in Detroit. We'll get some more previews from him there. And then, of course, the story of the day is Sandy Barber, the Penn State VP of Intercollegiate Athletics, retiring this summer. And so, of course, we'll get the latest reaction to that from Steve. There was no reason indicated in any of the reports that I've seen today. Maybe Steve can shed some more light on that, but she is retiring in the summer, and we'll react to that today with Steve and also with Running Eagles Rich Scarsella at 4:35 today. And plus, as we talked about yesterday with Greg Pickle from On3.com, spring practice gets underway Monday for Penn State football. So actually a lot to get into with Rich Scarsella today at 4:35. So we got certainly a whole heck of a lot to get to there. But those are the two big topics of the day. And that is certainly Sandy Barber announcing her retirement. And when it comes to that, of course, she's done many different things for Penn State since coming aboard in 2014. But most notably, she had started that facilities master plan, which of course lays out more than two decades worth of refurbishments and construction for all the different athletic facilities on campus. Some projects, including the renovations at the Lash Football Building, the construction of Penn State's Lacrosse Panzer Stadium, are in the works, already finished. But for now, kind of unclear what will become of the rest of the project, of course, largely halted by the pandemic. So we'll see if we can get into that with Steve and Rich Scarsella today at 4:35. And this also just came in, too, from the NFL. The Raiders making a couple of moves today. Carl Nassib has been released. Chandler Jones signed to a deal. Yannick Ngakoue traded to the Colts. All that going on today from the Raiders. another flip of the switch from a free agent. We saw what happened to Randy Gregory yesterday, changing on the Cowboys and then signing with the Broncos. Well, just the opposite happens today with J.D. McKissic. Announced he was going to sign a 2-year deal with the Bills after his time with the Commanders. But now the Commanders jump back to him and offered exactly what the Bills offered him. And now he backs out of the Bills and he goes to the Commanders. I mean, this stuff just kind of drives me crazy. J.D. McKissic with the Commanders.
Oh, who cares?
I know. It's just the notion of it that drives me crazy, but whatever. We have bigger things to talk about here.
No. It's like, here's a word for you. Irrelevant. All right. So, I mean, seriously, I'm like, who cares? let's start with this. Merrill Reese has signed a 3-year contract extension to be the voice of the Philadelphia Eagles. Merrill is 79. This contract takes him till 82. He is in zero mood to retire. Zero. Okay? So it's a multi-year extension for him. And as he said, I can tell you, I will never willingly retire. He is 79 and sounds like he's 39. His contract extension, by the way, goes right with the rights. Okay, the rights go through the 24 season, and Merrill's contract goes through the 24 season. But Merrill, he said today on WIP, I can tell you I will never willingly retire, and nor does anybody want him to. Like I said, he's 79 and sounds 39. So we start with that.
You, sir, are my hero!
Also tremendous
news. So while he's talking about McKissic, which is irrelevant, I just went to something like this relevant to the audience and they want to hear. I realized what I was talking about was positive and that's not your strong suit. What?
It's not the player that I care about. It's just the notion that it's happened 2 days in a row. But whatever.
It doesn't matter. Who cares? It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. Okay? Merrill coming back is relevant. Okay? Okay? That's relevant. Okay? So that's we'll start with that. That's a big one right out of the gate, and it's good news. And we know that Aikman and Buck got their deals officially announced with ESPN. But Merrill coming back is a big one. Right? So I am so thrilled for him. He's one of the absolutely great guys out there. The Phillies have signed Kyle Schwarber, with the National League now going all in on the DH. This is a wonderful fit, and we're going to talk with Scott Lauber about this at 3:35 today, right? Scott's on at 3:35.
Correct.
Right. All right. And I think the signing of Schwarber is a great fit. Shorter porch and right, great power swing, drive and runs, help complement Bryce Harper in the lineup. I think that has the potential to be a really terrific signing for the Phillies. And Schwarber is a guy that, when he's around, for the most part, people win. He is one of those great clubhouse guys and backs it up with performance at the plate. The Yankees have signed Tino Martinez. Oh, I'm sorry. A guy that has the same current skills as Tino Martinez. No. And Anthony Rizzo? Same skills? Right. Tino's 50 now? No?
Either way, it's exactly what the Yankees need.
That's a good signing for the Yankees. You know, at the plate, has he slip back at the plate? Yes, he has. There's no getting around it. He can still drive and runs. He can still hit with power. He is a marvelous first baseman. Is he the same as he was in 2016, 17, right around there? No. I mean, his skills are not quite of the same level as they were 5 years ago. Right? See, that's why we love Merrill. Merrill's skills are the same as 40 years ago. And that's another positive of the day. Now, of course, part of the news of the day here is that Sandy Barber has announced that this summer she will retire. When you're in the position of Sandy Barber, you are going to have people that are for you, and you're going to have critics, because that does come with the territory. I mean, the only person I know that really is stealth in a major position in life is the suit. And that's why I'm here, because I'm constantly putting dents in that stealth mode. No?
F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells foul.
I mean, the suit, you know, to his credit, kind of has put together a Teflon persona, don't you think?
No, senor!
No, okay. But as for Sandy, let's look overall in the 8 years. You know, I think one of the major elements, she's always talked about the why. What is our why? And she's always said that the student athlete was the why. And when you're talking student athlete, a big element of that is the first word, student. The Morgan Academic Center was built under her watch. In fact, she made a personal contribution to it financially. And you see what Penn State has done with its student-athlete graduation rates, 88, 89. Now it's as high as 92%. It's the highest it's ever been at Penn State. That is traceable to the quality of the student they're bringing in, the fact that the coaches believe in the philosophy, and also having a place like the Morgan Academic Center. That is a major plus that is, to me, a major part of her legacy here at Penn State. There have been Big Ten championships. There have been national championships along the way. She guided this athletic department through a pandemic. I mean, and everybody lost money, and fiscally she did a good job of keeping Penn State's losses to a minimum. When you look at the losses, for example, at Ohio State and Michigan, they are three times what they are at Penn State for fiscal year 21. Right, because again, the pandemic would be fiscal year to 2021. Okay, June 30th, 2020, to June 30, 2021. All right, she kept at to a minimum. Obviously, I work around her all the time, so as somebody who's around her a lot, I'm going to be one of those people that backs her up because I know exactly what she wants to do, why she wants to do it, and how she wants to go about it. And she ended up doing a lot of terrific things here at Penn State. Again, there are going to be people that are critics. That does come with the position. I thoroughly get it. Okay? I'm just talking about somebody who's around her and talks to her enough, especially, and it's not just the public conversations, it's the private conversations as well. And I think of all the great things that she has done here at Penn State. Sam Sessoms has put his name into the transfer portal. I'm not surprised by that. We'll see what Sam wants to do. It's not like he can't come back to Penn State. But Sam is somebody that is, he's coming off the bench. I think he wants to start. He's a very ball-centric player to begin with. In this offense, that ball-centric person is Jalen Pickett. It's not Sam every once in a while. It is Sam. Sam gave them a jump on the offense. We'll see what he wants to do. But he has put his name into the transfer portal. I was not surprised by that. And now he'll explore what his possibilities happen to be. I think he's the kind of guy that wants to be part of the focal point of what an offense does. And so we'll see what kind of decisions he'll be able to make here along the way. And that's why Micah Shrewsbury, for example, talked about, you know what, I think we'll probably need a couple guys in the transfer portal, because Penn State already had one opening to begin with. With Sam not there, two, there could be one other guy that might not be back. We'll see about that, but we will give them the opportunity themselves to announce what they're going to do one way or the other. Okay? So that's some of the news of the day. Notre Dame will play tonight against Rutgers. Key to the game will be the number of threes that Notre Dame hits in the game. Notre Dame, Rutgers is a really good defensive team, especially Caleb McConnell, who's an excellent long defender. Notre Dame plays four guards, very perimeter-oriented. When Notre Dame hits 10 threes or more, they are 14-1 on the season. All this information was given to me by the suit and Matt. No? Okay. You know the games being played tonight, right? Just want to make sure.
Oh, of course. I'll be watching.
I mean, the suit is in fantasy IndyCar.
Yeah.
In fact, his life is a fantasy. What do you think of fantasy IndyCar? Your life's a fantasy.
No good! No good! No good!
You're starting out with some guy with the Washington Commanders that just means nothing. I got right to the heart of it, went to Merrill.
I did address some of the other issues that you talked about before getting to J.D. McKissick, but you just happened to come in when I was finishing up on that.
Yeah, 8 minutes on that. Okay, too much. All right. J.D. McKissick, all right, in the talk show world, all right? Four words, waste of my time. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Beck, let's vow not to use that guy's name in the show ever again.
Fine with me.
Well, no, I'm fine with you. You spent like an hour and a half talking about him. Like he's the swing player in the division.
Oh, no, it's just the act of it. I could care less about McKissick and what the Commanders do. I knew he was a priority for the Commanders.
You should care what the Commanders do. They can beat you.
I don't know about that right now, especially who they have a quarterback now.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. No, you've got you're so lucky. You've got Sammy Baugh. What, you think you got Johnny Unitas?
At least he'll have somebody who will stay on the field.
I mean, you act like you got Johnny Unitas. Bart Starr.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15. Hummel's Wharf online at sunburymotors.com. On behalf of the company, we want to apologize for Matt spending so much time on J.D. McKissick. All right. Okay. Let me give you something very quickly. This is not Jim Brown or Barry Sanders. Okay.
It's still the boss man's team, just FYI.
Even he didn't care. They get Antonio Gibson, for goodness sakes. Okay, they got Gibson. Okay? You spent, I don't know, an hour and 12 minutes on the show about an irrelevant guy.
Again, the action more than the player. But whatever.
No.
We got bigger things to talk about now.
I've been trying to tell you that the entire time. What are we doing here? Scott Lauber, the great one from the Philadelphia Inquirer, one of the absolute best in the business. It is so great to talk baseball with you again, my friend.
It is, right? Aren't you glad we're not talking about luxury taxes and pre-arbitration bonus pools and all of that stuff? We had enough of that for 3 months.
Enough of the radio station politics. Oh, you meant baseball. Okay. So Kyle Schwarber, in now the new permanent era of the DH, in the National League. What do you think of the signing of Schwarber?
Well, they needed a big bat, and that was clear from the beginning of the offseason, something they prioritized prior to the lockout and certainly in the days after the lockout. And they really targeted, you know, a few players. Schwarber was kind of always sort of the one at the top of the list. They made it clear back in November that they preferred someone who hit from the left side. They preferred a free agent who was not going to require them to forfeit draft pick compensation. So those two things kind of, you know, put Schwarber ahead of Chris Bryant, who's a right-handed hitter, and Nicholas Castellanos, who's a qualified free agent with draft pick compensation. So right. Schwarber was really the one at the top of the list. They went hard after him before the lockout. It didn't happen. I think Schwarber smartly waited until the lockout was over, until the DH came to the National League to kind of see whether his market moved upward at all. And ultimately, you know, here we are, what is it, less than a week after the lockout ended, and he winds up back where, you know, where I think a lot of us thought he'd go when it started, which was the Phillies.
He is a big reason why teams win, because his bat provides that, and people, and you know, Scott, I mean, he has a reputation of being one of those really good clubhouse guys too.
Yeah, he sure does. You know, just sort of talking today a little bit with one of the Phillies' new relievers, Brad Hand, who played with Schwarber for a half a season last year in Washington, he talked about his influence in the clubhouse and the fact that he's a good teammate. And look, I don't think it's coincidental that Schwarber has played in the big leagues now for, I believe, 7 years, and he's made the playoffs every year but one.
Right.
Whether it was with the Cubs, or last year with the Red Sox after he got traded over there. So he's a winning player. And, you know, I mean, look, he has – there. You know, he's not a perfect player. He's not an especially good defender. You know, you have to put up with some streakiness with the bat. He does strike out a fair amount. But he's also, you know, he's also a guy who walks a bit. He's not an easy at-bat, and he has that power. I mean, we all remember the home run that he hit, right? That landed on the roof of Wrigley Field in the playoffs in 2015,
yeah.
And that was kind of his introduction to everyone's introduction to Kyle Schwarber on a big stage. And he was part of that Cubs team that won it all in 2016. That'll live forever in Chicago. And you know, he's been a guy who's been in the middle of it on good teams for a lot of years now. And I think that, you know, that's one thing that you can't undersell. The Phillies don't have a lot of players who've been in the postseason before, and he would certainly be able to fill in that gap.
I'll never forget when the Cubs played the Pirates in the one-game playoff in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. And Tony La Russa, as you and I both know, Scott, he always had this philosophy that when you get to your biggest game, in other words, the one-and-done game, you start with your best offensive lineup. All right? And that night, Joe Maddon put him in right field. Even though he hadn't played hardly all year, he homered in the first inning. So, I mean, he has
right.
that ability to do it. I'm really glad you brought up Brad Hand. When he was at San Diego, terrific closer. Cleveland, he had some mixed results. What kind of addition, though, can he be to a bullpen that badly needs bullpen additions?
I feel like Brad Hand is sort of emblematic of even really of even good relievers who tend to have, you know, some year-to-year volatility. You know, I guess the best ones are consistent year in, year out, and stay healthy. He's one who has had some really good stretches, as you alluded to, in San Diego, and he's been a closer. He has, I think, 126 career saves in his career. And you know, look, last year, I mean, it happened to him within the season. Like, he started out really well in Washington, then didn't pitch so well, got traded over to Toronto, was not very good at all, got designated for assignment, went to the Mets, and finished strong. So, you know, you hope that you can get more of the positive streaks than the negative ones. He certainly brings experience. He's left-handed, which means, you know, he's probably going to see a fair amount of Juan Soto this year, Matt Olson, some of the better hitters, left-handed hitters in the National League. You're going to want him to get those guys out. So that's going to be kind of his role, to pitch late in the game, face tough lefties, and be kind of a bridge to Corey Knebel, who they view still as the, as you know, the guy who they want to close games for them. I think between Knebel, Hand, and Jerry's Familia, that's kind of the late inning formula that they're going to rely upon, and hopefully for them, those guys will be more consistent than not.
Well, you and I both know that I always find it amazing. There's so many interchangeable parts in the sixth through eighth inning, guys, because you're just hoping that somebody has the, like, the teams that, like, get there, their guys have career years, right? And I think that's what, for the Phillies, they've been trying to find that guy. And like most teams, they're not getting enough guys with career years. I mean, is that fair? Because I think that's the way it turns out.
Yeah, I think it is. And look, you know, it's more scientific in the sense that, you know, sometimes you look for different things. Like, I've always thought the teams that wind up with the best bullpens have sort of a variety of different types of guys down there. So, in other words, you're not bringing in every guy who looks the same, right? You're bringing in a guy who maybe gets lefties out. You're bringing in a guy who maybe has a little funk to his delivery. You're bringing in a guy who's maybe a little more deceptive. And then you're bringing in the flamethrower. You know, I think you've got to have a little bit of variety down there. These days, you need to have velocity down there, and they certainly have more velocity now than they've had in recent years. You saw it begin last year, where I know Jose Alvarado gives people a little agita because his control can come and go, but he throws 100 miles an hour, and that's not something the Phillies had before last year. So Right. They've certainly tried to pursue velocity. They've certainly tried to add variety. And, you know, at the end of the day, you hope that you have the right mix down there. I think it's fair to say that over the course of Dave Dombrowski's career, he hasn't been, like, totally awesome all the time at building bullpens. You know, mm-hmm. I think of some of those teams he had in Detroit.
Yes.
That might have won World Series if they had a little bit better bullpen. But, you know, so even a guy who's been around as long as he has, Dombrowski, you know, it can be a challenge to find the right mix. And the Phillies certainly have not found anything close to the right mix for their bullpen in the last several years. The bullpen is really what's kept them out of the playoffs. And so they hope that maybe this year the mix is a little bit better.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned Detroit, because the 2013 team he had, especially the starting rotation,
and
they lost, and they ended up losing in the American League Championship Series. Okay, do you feel like the lineup in most spots is set, and is there any spot that you think is not set that will have a little competition?
I think it is set in most spots, such as it is. Now, having said that, it doesn't necessarily mean they have one guy for every spot. Like, it looks like center field with Matt Vierling as a right-handed hitter and now Odubel Herrera back from the left side might be more of a timeshare. You know, I think they would love for Matt Vierling to rise up and win that job outright and kind of be the guy. But he's still a young player, young in his career. You know, I mean, he's like 25, 26. But he's young in his career. He was a rookie last year. I think his rookie status is actually still intact. So he'll be technically a rookie this year. He's got about 70 major league at-bats. It's a little bit difficult to just give him the ball and say, go run with it. So, you know, I think it's going to be a bit of a timeshare in center field. Shortstop is worth watching in spring training. I mean, they have said that they're going to give Bryson Stott a chance to win the job. Now, it's a compressed spring training. You know, I think the whole thing is about 25 days. They played 20 exhibition games. That's it. So he's going to have to play really, really well, I think, over those games to unseat Didi Gregorius, who still has the track record and the fact that as bad as he was last year, he also was not healthy. So I think they want to see a healthy Didi Gregorius. And they want to, you know, he's got to fail, I think, before he loses the job. So those are really the two areas where I guess you could say they're a little bit unsettled. But otherwise, I mean, there's really not a whole lot of competition in the other spots. I think you pretty much know who's going to be out there.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I mean, Gregorius still has something to him. Stott, though, he really is a nice prospect. He's still a prospect, though, which is a fancy way of saying you haven't done it yet.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, they will say as games get started, they have already said, and they will say as games get started on Friday that it's a competition and Stott's got every chance to win the job, and maybe he will. I mean, maybe he goes out there and he hits, you know, 400 in spring training and with a bunch of home runs, and you just can't deny putting him on the team. But between the short spring, the fact that Stott hasn't played a ton at AAA, I mean, he finished the year there last year, but really hasn't played a whole lot there, and the fact that, like I said, Gregorius has a track record and presumably, you know, health now on his side, there are a lot of reasons why Gregorius would be the starting shortstop on opening day.
Is there any concern, Scott, about pitchers being stretched out enough to give any kind of lengthy appearances in the first 2 weeks of the regular season?
Yeah, I definitely think it's a concern, and obviously not just here with the Phillies, but everywhere. I mean, I think everyone's looking at their pitching and wondering how deep starters can go in April. You know, just the other day I was in Joe Girardi's office, and he was kind of counting down the days, like on the schedule, and like, okay, you know, if everyone was ready to go first time through the rotation, and Zach Wheeler won't be, Ranger Suarez won't be, Wheeler because of the flu, and Suarez because his arrival has been delayed by a few days because of a visa issue trying to get over here. But if all five starters were ready to go for the first turn through, you'd be looking at, like, and Joe was counting it out, like, okay, two innings the first time through and three innings the second time through and, you know, four innings the third time through, and then, bam, the season's going to start. And so, you know, I think if you're going to get five innings out of your guys the first time through, I think you'd be probably happy with that. I mean, there are going to be some exceptions. You know, Nola seems to be at least, if not ahead of schedule, on schedule. Zach Eflin, in a pleasant surprise because he had knee surgery last year and ended his year in September, he seems to be on schedule. You know, Kyle Gibson seems to be on schedule. So maybe those guys can give you a smidge more than five innings the first time out. But, you know, I think you're going to see teams, including the Phillies, err on the side of being conservative because – you know, you really just don't know. You don't know off of a 3-week spring training how these arms are gonna react.
Because it's not just the job of the manager to manage the situation, manage the game. They have to manage a season as well, and that's why they've got to be cautious the first couple of weeks of the regular season.
Yeah, and you know, look, it's going to trickle down because if everything starts with your starting pitchers and your starters can only give you four or five innings the first time through, it's going to put a lot of strain on your bullpen early in the season, and Joe Girardi, we know, doesn't like to do that. So, you know, I think what you're going to see is the teams that have, and this is not like a revelatory statement here, but, you know, and I think it applies in every year, but more so this year, the teams that have the most pitching depth are going to be in the best shape because pitchers are going to get hurt. It's going to happen, and this year in particular, it's going to happen. Pitchers are going to get hurt. They're going to miss time. And if you have, you know, the depth in AAA, you know, you're going to have to go, if a normal pitching staff is 13 guys, you're going to have to go 20, 25 guys deep to get through it because things are going to happen.
What a pleasure to have you back on talking baseball and not numbers. Scott, thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Anytime.
Scott Lauber, Philadelphia Inquirer. Talking baseball. That's beautiful. Back to doing that. Instead of talking baseball or other issues, Matt wanted to talk about J.D. McKissic as if the Washington Commanders had signed Barry Sanders. It's just a confusing opening. Confusing. And we talked about Sandy Barber and a lot of the great things that she's done. We talked about Merrill Reese's contract. We talked about Sam Sessoms of the transfer portal. And he's talking about a pass-receiving running back. I mean, in Washington, it didn't even make the news on WJFK today. I mean, and he led the show with it. What's next? Doing Shickle and Me football?
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
I mean, are we doing Shickle and Me football next? What are we doing here? Are you going to preview the Texas IndyCar race?
I can assure you of that. That's a no.
I think you're getting closer. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I
I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Hey, everybody, it's Joe Buck. I just wanted to take a second to tell you how excited, beyond excited, I am to come to ESPN and to get to do Monday Night Football. Get to do it with Troy. Get to do with Lisa Salters, with John Perry, the entire crew. It's going to be an absolute blast. And for that guy back there, a young Jack Buck, I can't tell you how many times I went into a Monday Night Football radio booth with he and Hank Stram, and I sat there watching some of the greats to ever broadcast on television go into the Monday Night Football booth, never even thinking that I could end up there. And, well, here we are. I didn't see it coming, and gosh, I'm glad it did. Can't wait for the schedule to come out so we can find out where we're going to be each and every Monday night. I know you'll be there, too. It's going to be a blast. Can't wait.
And the contract through the Super Bowl that ABC and ESPN will be doing. That's the key to the length of the contracts. All right. But, again, Matt already knew that. No, didn't I? Okay.
No, I did.
The Giants have signed Tyrod Taylor. What do you think of that? What do you think of that?
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
The Giants signed Tyrod Taylor. What do you think?
I think your Giants are in trouble if they have to go to him and not Daniel Jones.
Right. This is the equivalent of talking about J.D. McKissick. All right. So, fell into it. I knew you would. fell into it.
But Tyrod Taylor didn't go around and say, oh, I'm going to sign with this other team now after agreeing to the deal.
Nobody cares. There's a thousand things going on. A pass-receiving running back. It's like signing Preston Pearson. All right. Come on. Really? We got Jeff Byers in the NCAA Wrestling Championships next half hour. Rich Scarcella, final half hour. I got Notre Dame and Rutgers tonight. You know, it's interesting. We talk about different levels for different players. Peter Kiss is going to play for Bryan tonight. He led the nation in scoring. Kiss was a big-time scorer at Quinnipiac. And then he went to Rutgers, and he hardly ever played. And then he went to Bryan. He leads the nation in scoring again. There's something about like the level you're playing at that opens the door. And when he was at Rutgers, Rutgers started to get good when he was there. But it was interesting. He barely saw the light of day. I mean, believe me, he was on I have every player on my chart for basketball. In football, you can't possibly do that. But basketball, you literally have, I've got 15 spots on my chart. He was always on there. And of course, they had all his scoring games, and all his scoring games were at Quinnipiac. He hardly ever played at Rutgers. Hardly ever. Now at Bryan, he's the nation's leading scorer. They'll play Wright State tonight. Wright State, of course, is in Dayton. Like the Wright brothers. You know, Dayton. Oh, I got to explain everything. Wright State has a big-time explosive offense, but they couldn't defend the little sisters of the poor.